Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Genentech, we had the pleasure of speaking with Virginia Kaklamani, MD, DSC, about her advice regarding the use of inavolisib for patients with hormone receptor-positive, PIK3CA-mutated, locally advanced, or metastatic breast cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Kaklamani discussed the mechanism of action of inavolisib, the importance of the addition of this agent to the HR-positive metastatic breast cancer treatment paradigm, and considerations for early biomarker testing in patients with breast cancer.
Okay, so speaking about the role of inavolisib in HR-positive breast cancer, just what is the importance of having this PI3 kinase inhibitor available and approved for patients with metastatic HR-positive disease?
So the approval of inavolisib was based on the INAVO120 trial, and this was a trial that was done in patients that had not previously received any treatment for metastatic breast cancer. So this was first-line therapy, and patients that had tumors with mutations in the PIK3CA, but also, most importantly, tumors that were endocrine-resistant. And so we know that these tumors, even though we give CDK4/6 inhibitors to them, they don't really do very well with the addition of CDK4/6 inhibition. And so we needed something better. And so the triple combination of INAVO, palbociclib, and fulvestrant seemed to be very beneficial, improved the progression-free survival, almost doubled it, and now most recently has shown, at least on a press release, that it has improved overall survival as well. So as far as safety, this is one of the things that we need to be paying attention to. All of these agents that are targeting the PI3 kinase pathway have some predictable toxicities. They can cause diarrhea, rash, stomatitis, and hyperglycemia. And each one of them causes different degrees of each one of these adverse events. So for INAVO, the bigger concern is hyperglycemia. On the INAVO120 trial, patients were not allowed if they had a hemoglobin A1C of more than 6.5. So this is very important that we start out with patients that have a very controlled hemoglobin A1C. And even with that, there might be a degree of hyperglycemia that we may have to deal with in clinic.
Anything else that you wanted to add about sort of how to manage that hyperglycemia or any of the other adverse effects that, you know, maybe clinicians might have some questions about management going forward?
So as far as management of adverse events, and most importantly, the hyperglycemia, it's important, obviously, that we look at hemoglobin A1C, that we monitor fasting blood glucose levels very closely, and we may need to be adding metformin to the patient's regimen if we see that the blood sugars increase. What's extremely important is that we don't give the drug to the patients and just send them home and say, come back in a month, but we need to be very stringent as far as measuring blood glucose levels, and they have to be fasting blood glucose levels.
What are some considerations for biomarker testing in breast cancer, particularly in the upfront setting?
So as far as biomarker testing, it's extremely important. If we don't test for biomarkers, then we don't know that our patients are eligible for PI3 kinase inhibitors, medications such as elacestrant, and so forth. So it's important that once we find that a patient has developed metastatic disease, the first thing we do is that we do next-generation sequencing and test for PI3 kinase mutations or other potential biomarkers that might help us in tailoring our treatment for the patients. Now, previously, before we had inavolisib, we would test for those in that second-line setting, but now with inavolisib, some of the patients might be eligible in the first-line setting, and so we always want to do that. Now, we can do this with a tissue biopsy. We can also do this with a liquid biopsy. And some of my colleagues might do both at the same time. Obviously, that might have some limitations as far as insurance coverage and so forth. But the important take-home message is please do check NGS because it's important for us to identify patients that have PI3 kinase mutated tumors.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air, supported by Genentech. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live On Air.